Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 7 to 10. Why? Why? What am I talking about? The remnant has been left in Judea and in Jerusalem. Babylon has left this remnant there. But through tortuous circumstances, this remnant has now gone against God's word, against the revelation to them through Jeremiah. They've gone down into Egypt. And God now, through Jeremiah, speaks to them in Egypt. Now this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Why bring such great disaster on yourselves by cutting off from Judah the men and women, the children and infants, and so leave yourselves without a remnant? Why provoke me to anger with what your hands have made, burning incense to other gods in Egypt, where you have come to live? You will destroy yourselves and make yourselves an object of cursing and reproach among all the nations on earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness committed by your fathers and by the kings and queens of Judah, and the wickedness committed by you and your wives in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? To this day they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence, nor have they followed my law and the decrees I set before you and your fathers. Jeremiah 44, 7 to 10. Why? Why provoke me? Why bring such great disaster upon yourself? It'd been bad enough in Judah. It'd been bad enough for all those years in Judah. Now you've gone down to Egypt. It was sinful to go to Egypt in the first place. But when you've got there, what are you doing? You're taking up their gods. You're provoking me, says God, by burning incense to the gods of Egypt. These other gods where you've come to live. It was bad enough in Judah. Now in Egypt. It's staggering, is it not? Will you never learn? Have you forgotten? Have you ignored the past? Have you forgotten your history? Have you forgotten the wickedness committed by your fathers back in the land of Judah? The kings and the queens then, do you remember it? And you've been doing it, and now you're down here, and you've gone even worse. Where will it end? Will you never learn? Will you never repent? Will you never stop? Will you never stop going down this slippery road down into paganism? There's no repentance. There's no reverence. There's no remorse, verse 10. I've set before you my law. I've set before you my decrees. I've set before you my covenant. I've called you to it. The book of Deuteronomy demands it again and again and again. In the second giving of the law, God is saying again and again to Israel, be separate, keep my covenant, never stray from it. But you have broken it again and again and again. Prophet after prophet has come to you. And I've reasoned with you and begged you and pleaded with you. But you will go on provoking me. Why? Verse 7. Why? Verse 8. Why are you provoking me? Verse 8. Why are you bringing my wrath upon you? Verse 7. How bad can it get? It's appalling, is it not? Here are the people of the Exodus. The people of Sinai. The people under David and Solomon, the temple, the great kingdom, the days of Elijah and Elisha and such like, Moses' people. And yet they're in this degraded state, this pagan state, this worldly state. What is going on? Well, what do? Well, we can treat it as an academic nicety, a game, as antiquarians do. We can think about it. Well, sad thing it is, an academic point, a debating point. No, my friend, let's take the pastoral issue here. Let's take it home to ourselves. These things are written for our learning, for our profit, for our warning. Well, we wouldn't be like this. Oh, 1 Corinthians 10, Romans 15. Beware lest there be in us any evil heart or root of unbelief in departing from the living God. And you know my contention. I've made it again and again through the book of Jeremiah and several of my books and articles and writings and preachings and teachings. I see these things in principle, of course. I'm not burning incense to other gods, I'm not saying that. But the truth is, the church is adopting pagan principles, copying the world, aping the world, taking the world into the church, and becomes part of the church. The world becomes part of the church, and the church and the world become one. This is what's happening. This is what happened with Israel. This is what happened to Judah. And they went into captivity in Assyria and in Babylon. And never recovered. Never, never recovered. Revelation 2 and 3. Those churches were taken out, and the candlestick's gone. North Africa. And again, we see it. Are we seeing it in the West today? With this running into paganism. This is not an episode in the life of Judah. This is a long, long history. And this was Jeremiah's burden throughout his life. This is what his preaching was. He's preaching this. It doesn't make him popular. He wasn't popular in Judea. He wasn't popular in Jerusalem. He's not popular in Egypt. Wherever he goes with this people, he is hated and rebelled against. And God is the same. They do not want God in his word to reign over them. They show no repentance, it says. No remorse, no humbling themselves, verse 10, Jeremiah 44. May we learn from this, my brothers and sisters. May we act upon it. May we heed, before it is too late, heed it and apply it to ourselves. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of it. Oh, may we come back from the brink. May we not go down this world's way of copying the world, this re-engineering the church to adopt ourselves to pagan principles and practice, worldly entertainment and pleasures to try and draw in attenders upon the gospel, so-called. We will mute the gospel. We will adulterate the gospel by our very methods. May God give us wisdom to wake up before it is too late and repent and return. Why? Why, says God? And that question must sound throughout the evangelical world today. Why? Why will this re-engineering purpose continue? Why? Why will people, the churches, as I see it, buy into it wholesale? May God give us grace to awaken from our stupor. May we repent and return and come back to the covenant and law of Christ as revealed in the scriptures for Jesus' sake. Amen.